Yeah.
Welcome to season 5 of Sessions.
Yeah, it goes like this right here.
This is the year.
Like,
we get it.
Niggas always be hollering peace.
Season 1 was fun.
Peace this, peace that.
Season 2, it was cool.
Every time I try to get a piece
season
of mind.
Season 3 was crazy.
Niggas try to get a piece of mind.
And season 4,
so I gotta grab my piece.
Got us ready.
It's the return of the gangsta. Gangsta.
This is the year we return to high stakes. This is the year we get our own place. This is the year we pay back every motherfucker we owe. This is the year. Poker session 9 of 150. Card player. The lead up. So last year I made a big call with a bluff catcher in a spot where people don't bluff too often. And what I mean by that is my opponent put in over $1,500 and we were playing a red chip game. And in the history of red chip games, when someone puts in over $1,500, they have a really good hand, overpair a ton in the hand I was talking about, the one where I raised with Queen 8 of Diamonds, the Triathlete Pro called, and Nebraska, like min 3-bet the button, and we were just playing three-handed. And then he overbet on queen, what was it, queen 9 deuce, two spades, and I had queen 8 of diamonds, and he bet 300 into 2 1/4, and I called, and then the turn was a deuce, and he shipped it. And so when someone takes that line, and just for that amount of money, it's just generally not anything but an overpair, and or top pair, top kicker, and I was in a lot of trouble against both of those hands. You know, anything top pair, top kicker, or better, I was screwed against. But just some things that he did made it a call. It made me believe he had a flush draw, and he did, and it was nice to hold. It's all fine and dandy to make the right play, but you got to hold too. He could have hit his flush on the river. He didn't. I want to, you know, over 3K pot. And I think looking back at that hand, it helped that I was drinking on that night. I could see myself overthinking it if I was sober and just thinking, oh, don't be a station and pay off all this money. He's just going to show you kings or aces. But no, I was locked in and I went with my read. And when I go with my read, I'm pretty good at poker. And there's definitely trade-offs to drinking and not drinking. Overall, I play much better not drinking, but sometimes you just don't overthink something like this. You saw it. You got the read. It's a flush draw. Fucking go with it. So that's what you heard last. And then I got back to my granny flat around 4 a.m. on Wednesday, January 26th. And I just ate protein. That's an adjustment this year. And trade-offs to everything in life, isn't there? So you eat protein all the time and no carbs, and it hurts my stomach. It does, like dried fruit and whatnot. And so I don't sleep as well because my stomach hurts, and so what? And I was sore from the hike. If you recall, I did a hike earlier in the day, or maybe the day before even. Is that true? Was it day before? No, I think it was just earlier in the day before that session with Chili Dog and Hunter the Punter. We actually ran. So I kind of forgot about that. We were on this hike, and then I had to get to my son's school in a certain amount of time, and Hunter the Punter was looking on his phone, some app or whatever, and it said we weren't going to get there in time, so we had to pick up pace. We had to run. It felt good. It felt good to be sore, and I was sore for many days. Anyways, after I got up, I just worked, and then I raced over to get my kids, and I actually picked up a third kid on this day, Little Miss Fuego's best friend. And so I got all three of them in the back seat, and it's just funny. It's kind of cool, and it's funny the way they talk compared to how the kids talked when I was growing up. Now they're talking about someone, and Little Miss Fuego's friend's like, oh my God, he's so homophobic. And I was thinking, this is great. You know, I get it that being like super woke can be annoying, but there's a purpose for being woke, and it's about fucking everyone being equal. That's it, right? And so, and not, you know, not judging people. Yeah, I'm a fan of it. I get how people can overdo it. Someone can just say something with no malintent and they get canceled. That shit's lame. But anyways, I just thought it was funny. You know, and they're in the backseat and they're talking about some kid at school. Oh my God, he's so homophobic. I'm thinking when I was that age, someone would be like, oh my God, that guy's so gay. So it's cool. You know, humanity is evolving, obviously. And I don't know, I thought it was cool. I took them to get some food. I took them to a place called Pyology where I went with the Savages one time. And not one time, he wasn't there, but the Savages were. And it's a, you make your own pizza. And so my son got cheesy bread and the girls got pizzas. And I'm doing intermittent fasting as much as I can because I gotta drop some pounds, and it's tough. It's really tough when you work as hard as I do and as often as I do. You just, at the end of the night, you just want to treat yourself to some good food and drinks and whatever else. So you got to do what you do. What you got to do what you can do, which means less carbs, more protein when you do eat, and intermittent fast when you can. This is a fucking brutal place to do it at. A place where you make your own pizza. And I'm just having my daughter fill up my Coke Zero. And yeah, just, it's kind of cool having another kid with us on this day. And then my daughter had an orthodontist appointment. We took her there. And then I took them all to Sky Zone. And just have them get some exercise. And then I needed to fill out an email interview for Card Player. And how did this come about? Well, since I've become a commentator, my social media, I've got more followers and more patrons. It's been fantastic. I also get these really weird DM requests. And so that's people I don't follow or don't follow. I don't know. I don't even know how it works, how some people can message you and some people can only request to message you. Sometimes I don't see them for months, and sometimes I see them, but it's like in the middle of the night and I forget about them. And anyways, I'll get a lot of weird messages. I have this guy messaging me saying, I don't know if you know this about Garrett, but he's an atheist. So you might not want to be talking about how good he is at poker if you believe in God. That's a message. It's a DM I got. I get the ones like, hey, baby, you want to see pictures or whatever those. I get some guys like, you know, God bless you. If you're not lying, send the Venmo to here. I don't know what that means. I also got one from this really prominent woman in poker thanking me for sticking up for Poker Bunny the two nights she played on Hustle Casino Live. She says she doesn't know her at all, but she just recognized a spot where people tend to pile on women, and she appreciated me not. And that was cool to get that message. And I don't know if I'm a feminist or not. I'm definitely not anti-man, but I am pro-woman, so I guess I'm a feminist. Who knows? But I'm just anti anything, any judgment or hate or inequality. It seems so fucking basic to me. I don't know. But also, another one of these DM requests was someone that said, hey, I've been enjoying your content for a long time. I work for Card Player. Would you like to do an email interview? I thought, sure. This is something I'm happy to do. I've done interviews for college kids. I'm almost always going to say yes to an interview. And this makes sense too, Card Player, even more exposure. And I didn't know that he was going to ask me two strat questions. So he tricked me. He okey-doked me, because most people know I'm not a fan of artificially improving the player pool. You know, they're going to get better, sure. They're going to do this and that. I don't want to be a part of it. I know that someone has in this podcast, actually a lot of people have made a lot of money listening to this podcast. They learn a lot of truths about live poker that are just incredibly profitable if you can, if you can acknowledge them and apply some stuff in your own games and whatever. It's fine, but I don't go out of my way to do it. And but here we go. I said I'd do an interview, and it was two strat questions. So I decided not to be stubborn and answer his strat questions. And the first one is, what's a block bet? No, that was not what it was, but it was similar. It was how to employ thin value bets. And then the second question is, how do you combat a player who value bets thin? And, you know, it's kind of cool. Way back in the day on 2 plus 2, I spewed strat. I did a lot of things before I knew better. I used to spew the most strat. You would have the high-stakes poker players spewing incredible strat in the high-stakes no-limit/pot-limit section on 2 plus 2. But also we had this really cool sub-forum, medium-high-full ring. I don't know why it was called that, but where you'd have the working pros, and we would just debate hands ad nauseum. And I just would really go into any hand posted and figure out the best line for it and break down my logic and the math and whatever. And it kind of brought me back to that a little bit. Like, I know how to employ thin value bets, but I'd never have articulated it. And I did in this email, although I was starving and I was hangry, and now I was drinking Diet Pepsi, and I'm writing on my phone, and they have loud as fuck music at Sky Zone. So who knows how good it came out, and I only answered the first question of how to employ thin value bets. I felt a little hypocritical. I also know that everything's gray, and it didn't bother me that much. And, he okie-doked me. He outplayed me. You want to do an interview? Sure, I'll do it. Send me questions. Okay, it's two strat questions. I don't know. It's cool. He got me. He won. And I'll just do the other. I'll do how to combat thin value bets, later. I just didn't have time. I got to take my kids back now. I got to drop off my daughter's best friend, and then I got to drop off my kids. And on the way back, I just have poor visibility driving at night. I always have. I have bad vision. And also, my car is always dirty and has, like, a nick in the what's it called? Windshield, and windshield wipers don't really work, and it's just always hard to see, and there's a glare from the top of my car has, like, melted the dash, so it just provides a glare onto the windshield, even if everything is clean. It's just really hard to see, and I'm in the right lane. There's two lanes. I'm in the right lane, and then there's a turning lane also, and my navigation is lagging a little bit. I don't know if I turn right here or the next one. And I just, while I'm looking around, I just barely missed a guy on a bike. A guy riding a bike in the bike lane, which is, there are two lanes on a heavy traffic street. It's called San Marcos Boulevard, for those of you in San Diego. And it's as it goes, towards by El Camino Real. And so there's a lot of traffic, especially, at dinner time, and it's dark and you can't see. And then there's a turn lane on the right. And then I just didn't know that there would be a bike lane in between those two. And I just feel so fortunate when I don't hit a fucking biker in a spot like this. It feels like pure luck because you're waiting on your navigation. You don't know if you have to turn right now or, like, you might like, oh, okay, I do have to turn now. There's no one in my rear view if I look out, so I'm just going to go. But there, it's dark and someone's riding a fucking bike and you can't see them. And I don't know. But I think people need to stop doing that shit. I think that's just, you don't need it, right? And maybe this will trigger some people who like riding their bike. But I agree, exercise is fantastic. And ride your bike, but when you're riding with the vehicles nowadays, with it's people have kids that are going to be distracting. My kids are being distracting. There's three of them back there. They just jumped around. They're being loud. I can't think. My car's old. My eyes suck. My navigation's slow. Like, just don't do that. I don't know, but I just feel so fortunate when I don't clip someone that's riding a bike, because it just doesn't make sense to me. Anyways, I dropped off the kids. First, my daughter's friend, then my kids. And I raced over to Mission Avenue Bar and Grill in Oceanside. And starting to branch out a little bit. We just had very few places we've gone to eat before going to play poker. A lot of times we went to Sonu Korean Barbecue. That isn't very good. It doesn't compare to Vegas Korean barbecue or other good Korean barbecue. And so I used Yelp and I'm pretty good at Yelp. I can tell when it's bullshit reviews and good reviews for the most part. And this place sounded good, and it's real close to Ocean's 11, so I raced over there. And I can't tell you how hangry I was. Just like I intermittent fasted too long. I drank too much diet soda. It just worked, even though, you know, parenting is the most draining work there is. And then also writing this thing on my phone with the loud music. And anyways, I met a few people from the community there. I met Zogs, you know him, and AK Gaucho. He is up in Orange County. He drove down, and someone known as Stepmom in the story. So just the four of us, and I thought the food was very good at Mission Avenue Bar and Grill. I thought the wings were great. The atmosphere is great, and it's just a really cool town. It is Oceanside these days. It's really growing up. It's not too nice to where it's crazy expensive yet. And, you know, it's good conversation. It just always is when you meet up with people from this community that I'm building. And it just, it has more to do with the model that I monetize by than anything else. Where it's just only people who would pay to, you know, for a long time, it was they're paying for content they could get for free. Now, it's not all free, but still, I don't know. It's just always good. I do miss my girlfriend in these spots, but I don't know. It's nice. It makes it less lonely when I'm away. And I lost credit card roulette. Two in a row now. Fuck my life. So, you know, when there's four people there, you're 75% to not pay. And you know, it's about, like, getting in. No, it's getting in, like, Ace King against Ace Jack, right? All in pre-flop, pretty much, and whatever. Who cares? I don't worry about that stuff too much anymore because I'm working so hard and things are starting to go well, and we make our way over to Ocean's 11. And I mentioned this in the previous drop, but I asked the bartenders this week to make my drinks weaker, like not even a shot in a tall glass, and then lots of whatever the mix is, you know, usually Diet Coke. And can't get in a game again. This is a thing about making poker your job. Well, you're going to probably have to live somewhere where there's a lot of poker if it's your job. Because if you live somewhere like San Diego and there's only one card room where you can get to, like North County, San Diego, there's only one card room I can get to without, you know, driving over 30 minutes. And they might just have one game on a night. Where, you know, if you want to play the 2-5, the 2-5-10, whatever, and you're just going to wait a lot. And yeah, at least sometimes that bar is a nightmare, and you've heard about that. This is the opposite. It's really good vibes in there. Same people that went to dinner or at the bar, and just really got to know AK Gaucho more. Just a really cool dude from Brazil. He knows Doug Polk from the Brazilian that plays at The Hustler, and we just talked about a lot of cool stuff and bonded, and then the clock struck midnight. Let me take a sip of this Diet Mountain Dew. The session. So, I said I asked for weak drinks, right? But also the first note I wrote in my phone was, in at midnight, like Cinderella's stunt double. And I don't think that makes any sense. So maybe those drinks weren't that weak. I wrote tipping like crazy. So just win little small pots and tip more than a dollar. I always used to tip a dollar. I pretty much tip more than that always. I tip any significant pot, I tip more. I've just come to accept that that's the way it is. Yes, the dealer has done the same job for a big pot as a small pot, but they feel like they should get more for a big pot. So whatever, even if it's irrational, you just do it. And I, again, just like I'm not worrying about losing credit card roulette as much anymore. It's not like, you know, making me quiet like it used to. And no, just suck it up. That things are going better for me. I'm starting to, even though I'm not anywhere near out of the hole yet, I can see it now. And so I'm being more generous. I think I've been generous all along, but I'm being hyper generous, which is my default and feels good, especially when I'm have a dealer that's been dealing to me for fucking 2 decades. And there's a really good dealer named Lance, very fast. That's the guy, the joke was always that he used to deal online. And I wrote fucking Lance because I was in there with some cheese and some multi-way pot, and the flop came down deuce, deuce, deuce. And I just looked at him and I'm like, man, you know, we just criticize each other in a very fun way. He, you know, and I was like, that's literally the worst flop I've ever seen in my life. It's deuce, deuce, deuce. There's nothing anyone can do except for the one guy who obviously has a good hand. Everyone else is just, you can't even think about doing anything. If somehow if you had a deuce, you could just get the other person's money, but you're not going to have one when it's deuce, deuce, deuce. And that's the worst flop I've ever seen in my life. And there's a spot at our table. You can just tell this, you know, the jewelry, the chip stack, he's been running hot. And this grinder type walks by and says, hey, we have a seat open at our table. So there was another 2-5 on this night. And you don't do this. And I crossed eyes with this grinder. And have I done this in my career? Yeah, I have. Way back when I didn't know better. I've done a lot of things when I didn't know better. That's why I've written about everything that I do know better about, if that makes sense. It's called poaching. You don't do it. Right. And way back in the day, you know, I did, but I learned. And so I just crossed eyes with this guy. Like, no, man, you don't do this shit. And the next one is it's all easy right now. So I've had some bad sessions this year, but just a couple, I think, up to this point. And especially on this night, it's just easy where everything that makes sense to do as a live pro, just to small bet, big bet, just that basic shit. Go, you know, tone it down when you're going for value. You know, when they're capped, you tone it down even more if you're going for value and you don't need to bet as much. You know, when you're bluffing, just it's all easy. And then I already locked eyes with the guy trying to poach our spot. And now I looked at his table and I locked eyes with the pit bull from the bar the night before. Yeah, it's under the table at this other 2-5 game. And I believe, based on this, the owner's name, that I believe he's the son of a legendary whale from Ocean's 11. And I don't say that with any disrespect. The goal is to be a fucking whale. The goal is to have enough money where you just do whatever the fuck you want, right? And so I'm going to do a little flashback. I didn't play with this guy when I was a new pro. In, you know, 2007 and 2008, before I had to leave San Diego. I had to. I didn't really play with him much. He wasn't around much, this legendary whale. And then I learned how to be, you know, I learned how to do it a better way. Instead of going to games and playing perfectly and ruining the game and not giving anything back and just waiting until people left, I learned to give, to get. And it was more rewarding in every way. It was more fun. I made more money. I felt better about it because the people that were losing money were getting so much more out of it. And so when I would come back to Ocean's 11, a new man, right? I basically became DGAF, I guess. I went from new pro, fucking the guy, the tag you're just never going to get anything from, to someone who might double you up, but it also the overall strategy is going to be more lucrative. And at this point, they had some big games. They had 10-20, 10-20, 40, I think, at Ocean's 11. And people would sit deep, including the Pitbull owner's father. I'm pretty sure that's who it is. And this guy was in a wheelchair, and he always smelled like urine. And you know, that's not, I don't even think anyone ever laughed about it. It was just kind of like a note, you know, like he just, if you're sitting next to him, you're just going to smell piss because he couldn't control it or whatever. And that's going to happen. And I don't know how he became in a wheelchair, and but he had a lot of money and he was very gregarious, if that's the right word. And he loved playing with me. He would literally be playing in this 10-20 or 10-20-40 game, and I'd have a friend at the table, and I was the best player, and I would come in, and my friend would tell me, the guy would literally rub his hands together when he saw me coming in, because he didn't know how good I was. He thought the opposite, because he would see me turning over bad hands, occasionally doubling people up with horrible hands. And that's what I accomplished what I set out to of, okay, no one's going to think I'm a poker pro when I sit down. And I don't know, this guy was a nice guy and he lost a shit ton. And, he usually had this really buff dude, pushing him around and, being his helper. And I remember one night that buff dude was gone and I never knew who the buff dude was. I thought it was just like a bodyguard or something. And so I helped him out to his car. There's a ramp. I rolled him out there. And I remember, helping him get in his car and then folding up his wheelchair and putting in the trunk of his car. And I remember, I felt gross. I felt like I had piss all over me. And I remember going in the bathroom and, scrubbing myself like Ace Ventura after he realized he kissed Ray Finkel. And that's not important. But the thing is, this guy was just he was a staple in there. And he was a legendary whale. And that's a compliment. And I never knew who the buff guy that usually helped him out and wheeled him around. And when I heard this guy's name, it's the same name as the legendary whale. So I'm thinking, well, that makes sense. It's just his son. It's just that whale junior. And I have no idea how this guy plays. He was in the bar the night before. His pit bull was staring at me. And now I lock eyes again with the pit bull at the other 2-5 game underneath the seat. And I don't know. It was just all that happened while I was sitting at the table, including remembering, feeling like I had pissed all over myself after I helped him. And I don't know, back at my table, I straddle and they all limp, starting with Frank. Frank is he's there every night. He's Hunter the Punter's best friend, pretty much. They smoke ciggies together sometimes. And, they proposition women and whatever else they do. But this guy is fucking great. Maybe 60, early 60s Asian guy, just really perverted and harmless and funny. And he loves to limp. And so they all limp. I have King, Queen of Diamonds. I go to 60 and they all call. And then someone goes all in for 265. And this is an easy call. The whole field limps. U6X, a really good hand, King, Queen of Diamonds. A couple people call, and now someone goes all in for 265. I called, and everyone else folded. And, I was getting a nice price on the call, 205 to win a bunch. And the guy had ace jack off suit, so I'm doing fine, but he won. Okay, so what? This was the first night I noticed people just are done with the mask rule, and that's great, too. I don't believe there's any black and white with this mask shit with the corona. I don't think so. But people are just done. They're not wearing them. And it's just interesting to see. And I had to take a piss and I said, sorry to the awesome Indian dude. If you recalled a few sessions back, he ran like God, like he always does against me until he doesn't. That's the rule. This person runs like God until they don't. That's the fucking rule. Right. And it's just the until they don't hasn't happened for this guy. And I don't wish it to. Fuck. I hope he runs good forever. Who cares? He's a nice guy. Oh, I apologized to him when I was going to take a piss. I said, hey, man, sorry. I freaked out the other night. I was stressed out and you're too good or something. And he just smiled and said, no problem. And so I went back to the bar to bide my time, if that's what you say. And that means, the poker before midnight. You know how when you're a kid and your mom says nothing good happens after midnight? Well, in poker, it's the exact opposite. Nothing good happens before midnight in places like this. You are going to be in a full ring game almost always. And that means a lot of folding. And, you're always up against a good hand when you do get action. And it's just like, It's okay. It's relaxing for somebody. It's not for me. I like the fucking shorthanded street poker. Like the night before when it was me, prison hands, triathlete pro, and Nebraska. And then when it was just me, triathlete pro, and Nebraska, and I like battling anyone. Obviously, it's better to battle against whales or people that just aren't trying to earn. But I'll battle against anyone, and I do love shorthanded no limit hold'em still, especially heads up, which I just haven't got to play in a while. And I'm gonna go back in the bar and have a drink and just let the time tick into So I started at midnight, but also at 2 a.m. is when it's going to get better. And just the later you can go, the better it's going to be. And so, yeah, I don't know. I come back to my table and I steal. And now there's a guy at the other end of my table, and he's a really nice guy. And he says, you do a good job on Hustler Casino Live. I said, thanks, man. I appreciate it. So, yeah, I just and he says West Side. I like that shit because Wesley was a new player. Last time I was up there, he'd only been playing poker a couple weeks, and just said, "Can I play in the biggest games?" And I knew some backstory from Ryan. The guy's just a gambler and all heart, and so he became a favorite of mine. Wesley, I don't know his last name. Crypto Apprentice One on Twitter, and this guy says West Side, and I'm like, yeah, West Side, and he's saying that guy's great, and I'm saying, yeah, I'm a little worried for him when Garrett comes back though, and that's just true because he's holding his own against everyone, but I was a little worried for him for when Garrett came back, and I believe he did just fine when Garrett came back, and I'm just folding, and it's just not developing really to that shorthanded street shit that I like so much. I started at midnight, but that means it should start, heading that direction of, okay, now we're five-handed and I want to make it official 2-5-10 and people putting on the 20. It's not going that way on this night. And a player leaves that I couldn't figure out who it was the whole time. And it was Young David, if you remember that drop. Someone that reminded me a lot of my close friend, Dr. David Namark. And we played a session where David was at the table and Young David was. And this guy had his mask under his chin the whole day, whole night. And he left, and I finally realized who it was when he left. And there's just nothing to write about on this night. I wrote Frank limping and pimping. That's stupid, but he just limps a lot, and he's just a fucking character, man. And it's time for a dragon hand after a sip of Diet Mountain Dew. So I wrote Queen 8 is great. Queen 8 is the hand I had the session prior, the night prior, that I won over 3K pot with on Queen 9 Deuce Deuce. And well, here I'm the straddle, and it's just 2-5-10, and I have Queen 8 offsuit, and it's some really weak completes out of the blinds, small blind and the big blind. And so I go to 60 with Queen 8 offsuit, and I wrote, those drinks were stronger than they were supposed to be. So that's just a really bad hand, but you can get very creative when you got a buzz of, I don't care if it's a bad hand. I'm still going to outplay everyone in this hand. I'm going to make it work. And sometimes it doesn't work, and sometimes it does. And anyways, only one person called, and that was the spot. The man they were trying to poach. The grinder was trying to poach, and we locked eyes after he did, and he didn't try after that. And I don't know anything about this guy other than he's just a classic spot. He's got a lot of jewelries. Obviously very well off. He's got a lot of chips in the way he's playing. He's a spot. So he calls out of position, and I have Queen 8 offsuit. And I made it 60. So we got about 120 in there. The other person who put 10 in basically paid the rake. And it comes 7 deuce 3 with 2 diamonds. And he checks, and I bet 40. I bet a third of the pot here. And I'm going to go small bet, big bet on his ass. Just the old thing that works. And he check raises to 150. Okay, so I have queen 8 and it's 7 deuce 3. And I got check raised from 40 to 150. I don't believe him. I think what happened here was he didn't like... People that are well off, they don't like when you make it smaller on the flop than you made it pre-flop. It's disrespectful. And it's just, it's not intended to be, but it is, right? So I bet 40, he goes 150. Also, he has some sort of pair, right? So I'm going to get creative, as was the plan when I made it 60. I go to 350. I go ahead and three bet the 7-3 two-tone flop. And he calls. Okay, so I just need a big card, and then I'm going to send it all in. Or maybe I'll send it all in over the course of two streets, which might be better. But really, he has one pair here, and it's probably a seven. And so just give me a big card, and, you know, an ace would be a little suspect because he might have ace seven. But just any, you know, or I could hit a queen and eight or an eight, and I have the best hand. But anyways, it turns a four, and this is not the card to do it with because he has 7-6, 7-5. So this is not the card to jam on. So I have to check back. You know, I already put in fucking a lot of money. I already put in 410 in this pot, and so did he. There's 820 in there, and it came 7-3. Just to rewind. Let's rewind again. I asked the bartenders to make my drinks weak, and they said they were, and I thought they were, and then I popped it to 60 with queen eight offsuit, and so I realized maybe they're not making them as weak as I asked for, but really it's just I have a spot and someone else in the blinds completing, and I'm in a position, why not pop to 60, I'm going to run over this, I'm going to win this hand one way or another, and the spot, I might win right there, no, the spot calls, okay, so we got 120 in the pot, 7-3, 2 diamonds, he checks, I bet 40, I'm going to go small bet, big bet, and he check raises to 150, it feels like he has top pair, I go to 350, and he could fold his top pair here. Just because he's a spot doesn't mean he's super sticky. Spots make bad folds. They check raise to see where they're at. They do all this stuff, right? So I go to 350. It could work or it could work later. And he calls. And I just need a big card. If I hit a queen or an eight, I'm going to downshift into value mode. I'm going to bet like 200 or something. But I get a four, one of the worst cards. 7-3-4. Seven would be the worst card. But a four is very bad because now he has top pair and a gut shot, almost certainly. That's just the read. He could also have ace-7, but that's still going to be a gut shot. And so he checks and I check, but in the river, it is a good card. It's a king, and it does not complete the flush. And he does that thing where he goes to bet and checks. I do that when I want a good player to bet. He does that when he wants a good player, anyone, to check. So I just kind of posture, straighten up a little bit, and I said, I'm all in. And he goes in the tank. And it's never comfortable when you have queen eight, and the board is 7-3-4, king, and you're all in. And you've put in well over $1,000. You put in like 1,500, something like that. It's never comfortable when the guy's in the tank, but I thought it was the right play, and he folded, and I showed it. And I don't know why I showed. I just was feeling a little frisky. And after that, sometimes you need to tone it down. You show that you went psychotic with queen eight offsuit. Well, no, I just kept stealing. And it just kept working. And then I saw the triathlete pro walk into the bathroom or something. And I feel bad for him because he, you know, was a triathlete. And I know he's been clipped on his bike, I think, but anyways, he had a climbing accident and his ankle's all fucked up where he can't really walk on it right. And I said, I feel bad for him. And then I wrote, well, he's still fucking ripped, right? Like he's still like no body fat, fucking ripped. And so he doesn't feel sorry for himself. So I don't know. This is just dumb shit I write in my phone. I'm a humanitarian poker player, journalist, whatever you want to call me. I'm a card player. Okay. So this hand is just 2-5. I'm winning pretty decent now. And the guy that watches Hustler Casino Live, the West Side, man, said I do a good job. He opens to 30, and he seems like a very reasonable person. He doesn't have the issues I do. That's a quick read. Not many do. Some do. Respect. But he just doesn't, right? So he has, you know, probably a good hand here. I have kings. Oh, shit. That's great. And, you know, I've just turned over Queen 8, I've been stealing. This is just beautiful. Like, if he has a hand like Jacks or Queens, I'm just obviously going to get it all. And he doesn't have that much money. He has a little over 500. And anyway, someone calls his 30. I go to 130. He's all in for 500 and change. It gets back to me. Snap it off, obviously. And turn over my hand because he's a gentleman. And he turns over his. He has aces. Good job, dealer. And it comes 3-3-5, turn, king. Oop. So I got it in with kings against aces, and I won. And this is some shit you shouldn't overlook. This is some real run good right here. It's real run bad at one point when the money goes in. Oh, you got cooler. You got the ultimate cooler. But if it's going to lead to you winning, you know, over 100 big blinds, that's ultimate run good. And I don't know. So the other table breaks. Ours was starting to get shorthanded. I was starting to have fun. And the other one breaks and fills up our table. So it was starting to happen. It was starting to get to that shorthanded street poker shit that I love so much. And it just, but when there's two games, the other one's always going to break, right? My game never breaks. That's because I'm a fucking whale in training. And so they fill up our game. That sucks. And now it's full ring and just card death. And I fold for a while, and I finally, sometimes I'll just overlimp because I feel like I folded too much and it's just a bad look, and I don't ever want to do that. I don't want to, you know, people think that I'm playing well. So I overlimp 7-4 offsuit my birthday year, and, you know, multi-way bloat, not a bloater, just multi-way limper, and I flopped. Nothing right. Yeah, but, you know, no big deal, obviously. Just lost $5. The next note is, let's make it 3 hours. So this night isn't, I don't have time to wait for it to get, some nights it'll be shorthanded street poker, right at midnight or an hour or two after. Sometimes you have to wait till like 5 a.m. I don't have that luxury. I have a golf match the next day. And, so I'm just trying to make it 3 hours, just play till 3 a.m. That's an hour in 15 minutes after the bar closed, and should be good to drive at that point. And yeah, so I open king queen offsuit to 30. The straddle's on 2-5-10, and someone jams a fold, and then I limp 6-5 offsuit in a 9-way limper, 9 ways, and I flop. Nothing right. Yeah, but no big deal at all. I'm not trying to complain about flopping nothing with 7-4 offsuit or 6-5 offsuit. I'm just trying to tell the story. And the important part of the story is that it was a 9-way limper. I don't know what you call that, but that is something. The year is 2022, and I just played in a 9-way limp pot. That's something. And it's time for my worst play. Okay. So the 10 is on, and I'm the 10. And everyone limps. And now this lady makes it 60. And I remember her. I just don't know from what session, and I don't remember much about her. She makes it 60 on the button, which is going to be a good hand. She's not stealing. And it gets back to me, and I have kings in the straddle. And I go to 200. And so I said it's my worst play. It's good so far. This, you got to know the thresholds of the people you're playing with, and every one of these, every last one of these people are all, if they make it 60 with something, they're always going to make it, they're always going to call 200. Oh, it's two white chips instead, sure, here you go, let's see a flop. They're always going to do that. You go over that, they might start folding parts of the range. You don't want that, not when you got the cowboys. So but you do have to charge, and you can't like flat and let other people in. That would be horrific. So get it heads up with kings. And so everything's good so far. And the flop comes deuce 5-8, and I checked. What the fuck am I doing? I'm making a bad play. There's nothing else to say here. It's, if I'm playing against Steamy Pete in Las Vegas, sure, you can check here because he might just say all in. He does that. She's not going to do that. Most people aren't going to do that. What they're going to do is pot control because they open something good you made it 200, and now they just would like to get the show down as cheap as possible. And when you check, you allow them to do that. And I got lucky. She bet. She bet 175. So I made it 200 pre. She was 175. And now I have to check raise because I do need to get all the money in. And because there's just no good line once you check the flop. What? You're going to call here and donk lead? It's just too dumb. What if an ace peels off? Like, even if you're not worried about her having one, you're just not going to get action. It's just fucking bad. So I got a check raise now that I checked. And I do. I go to 400. At least I go to a good sizing. She's not full. But she thought for a while and called or went all in. She had, you know, whatever else after. But she did end up going all in, and I stacked her. But, you know, the point is you just need to massage the pot. And I didn't. I did pre-flop perfectly. I'm the 10. Everyone limps because they're, you know, they want to see a flop. She goes to 60. She has something good. Okay. I have the craziest image always. Go to 200. It's perfect. It's 200 is an easy amount to call. They can just pull back their chips and throw two whites out there. And, you know, in other places, $100 chips are black, but at Oceans, they're white. And yeah, that's just why you do it. Make it easy, make it convenient. And so, yeah, fuck it. Here you go. Here's 200. And when it comes deuce 5-8, you just bet. You can bet 150. But you could bet 200. You, depending on your opponent, if you know enough about their hand, you could bet a lot, making it look like a bluff. It just depends. I don't know her that well, and I should just bet something here. And if I just bet, I get all her money. If I just don't blow her out of the water, and checking gives her a chance to pot control. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. She didn't check back the flop. So I was able to stack her 175, and now I have to massage a check raise. That's hard. And like 400, 350 might look too strong. 400, I guess, is, you know, and she thought before going all in, but she thought about folding, I think, and I almost fucked it up, and I had kings again. Sound guy, I'm good at kings. I'll teach you. Anyways, I already won with kings against aces, all in for 500 and something each. She had more than that here, and I almost butchered it. It's my worst play, even though I got all our money. It just was. And so I've made it the 3 hours that I wanted to play, and I'm up 2,500. Just been a really easy session. You know, got cooler and got there with the 20%. And yeah, so I guess if I get there with the 25% for credit card roulette, it's cool to sometimes get there with 20% with the kings. And then I had kings against, you know, probably a slightly smaller pair. And I almost fucked it up, but still got the money. And I've made it my 3 hours. And now I'm going to drive. I hope I'm good to drive. And I'm, you know, up good to 2,500. And now it's time for my best play. It's time for me to go. But I'm going to, it's 2-5-10, this hand. And I'm going to double straddle. You know, you're not allowed to, but you just say this shit's live. Anyone calls it not live, I'll fight you. And people are like, yeah, who gives a shit? It's live. So I put the 20 out there on my last hand. It's just, you do it because it's been an easy session. And you've had nice players at your table and you've run hot. You give something back, even if it's $20, right? And so I double straddle. And it folds around, and the spot limps in the blinds. And then the man who straddled is the San Diego Yankees fan. And this guy is fucking fantastic. He wears a Padres hat and a Yankees jacket, and he wears two sets of glasses. I'm not joking. Like, I don't know if they're like flip-up, like outfielder flip-up glasses. He definitely has, you know, when they call someone four eyes? Well, they used to when kids were bullies. If someone wore glasses, they call him four. You would have to call this guy six eyes. He has an extra set of glasses. I don't know exactly what's going on. I never looked too closely, but he's great. He wears a Yankees jacket and a Padres hat. And he's got, I think I called him the librarian at one point or something because he's got these glasses and he's awesome. And he's been awesome for years and years. And I haven't played with him much. I think he might play the smaller game a lot, and maybe he saw me in this game, and who knows, or maybe he just plays this game sometimes. And So he was the 10, and the spot was the 2, and the spot called the 10, and the 5 folded, and this guy, the San Diego Yankees fan, called, I'm sorry, they both called 20, because I made it 20, and I go to 75. I got pocket 8s, and it's a really good hand against weakness, and the spot folds, and now the San Diego Yankees fan goes to 210. Okay, and sure, against a grinder, you're going to just, you know, throw your hand away. Okay, good job, you got me, right? This guy's not a grinder. He is a Padres and Yankees fan. He's got so many lenses, and he's just a character, and he'll do this pretty wide, and he only has 250 behind. It sucks. It's not a good spot to be in with the eights. I decide to call. I think I'm doing fine against his range here, and I call. Then it comes deuce, 5, and he goes all in for 250, and I call. I got the overpair. I don't love it, but whatever. It turns an ace, and he turns over his hand and starts crying. He has queens. I said, you're fine, man. And then I don't river an 8, and I just muck my hand. And he says, that's it? No more? Come on. And he's releasing some nervous energy. And he's usually a nice guy, and it's fine, it's harmless. You know, I do wish people put a little respect on my name at the poker table, but, you know, just, and they said, no, thank you for the action. And I just laugh, and I stand up, and I lost, whatever, 500 on the last hand. And why is this my best play? Did I play the hand technically very well? Well, do you want to be putting the double straddle on when others aren't? Not in general. Did I know I wasn't, did I not love it throughout? Yeah, but it was just fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't horrible. But it was my best play because I take a lot from this game, from poker. Unless I'm way overserved, I just am a big favorite every time I play. So much EV I take from poker, I gotta give some shit back. I do. And that's table talk. That's being funny. It's saying funny shit to Frank and Hunter the punter. And it's doing stuff like this. I had a really good night. Yeah, it cost me 500. I don't give a shit. It's the right thing to do. Just like it's right for me to overtip. Because I take a lot. And I don't know. I feel like it's a good example. It feels good inside. It's good for the longevity of poker. It earns future action for sure. This guy, people will remember shit like that. Like, there might be a shorthanded game down the road, and this guy might be looking at it and see me and said, well, remember he doubled me up with my queens, and, he probably had nothing. I don't show my hand. And, so that's why it's my best play, and not for technical reasons, but for other reasons. And whatever, I played 3 hours, and I won 2 granola bars, and that's not bad at all. And it's time to check the scoreboard. The countdown to 2023 scoreboard check. Brought to you by Poker Rags. And the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. And the Patrons. Okay, so hours. I played 12 hours this week. So I have 40 on the year. The pace, I should be at 45. That's the pace. So I'm 5 behind pace. In the quest to get to 750 hours. Ambitious for someone with 19 careers and 2 children and all that. But so what? I want to get to 750 hours. That's the goal. And I'm 5 behind pace. I just can't let it slip too far. I can play long sessions here and there. Like main event is 10 hours a day. And so I will have opportunities to make up for this. I'm 5 hours behind. I got 2 wins and a loss this week again, which means I earned 5 points. 5 points for a win, minus 5 for a loss. The goal is to win 2 out of 3 sessions. And just, on average, the entire year. And I've done that in week 3 here, and I did it in week 2. And week 1, I won all 3. So, yeah, I have 25 points total. The goal is 15. I got 25, 10 points ahead of the pace. And that's good because there's going to be a week when I lose all 3. And it's going to be minus 15. It's going to suck. And, want to get to 250 points and wins. And it's a nice rally. When you lose the first session of the week, it's nice to rally and win the next 2. And I think I made good decisions. I'm not playing fresh. I don't have the luxury to play fresh yet. sometimes in Vegas, I can go play in the day. But I just don't have it here yet because I got so much going on. And so what, at least after I was a baby tilting at the Hustler, I decided I'm just going to commentate this week and I'm going to play after I rejuvenate a little bit, which is not really rejuvenating, but it's just not, you know, commentating for 5 hours plus, looking at two screens and then going and trying to play. And no, so I was happy with my decision to just delay my sessions a little bit, and it's a nice rally. And anyways, let's talk about Patron's after a sip of Diet Mountain Dew. Diet Mountain Dew is pretty strong. It might be my favorite diet soda. Okay. Patron's. Well, Ron came in at $51 a month. Fucking A. Thank you, Ron. That is the top tier. There are different tiers you can come in at. That's the top tier. It does have good perks, but it's just beyond generous, and it means a lot. It means a lot in a couple ways. It means a lot as, like, inspires me to keep the content community going as best I can. And it means a lot. It's a nice fucking raise, isn't it? $51 a month on your salary. Thank you, Ron. John and Rocket Lettuce came in. That's 8 points. So two more Patrons. And John sent a message on Twitter or a tweet, tagged me and said, this podcast got him through the toughest year of his life last year. And doesn't that inspire a spewer like myself to bring more fire? And I don't know. I'm not always going to bring fire. I'm always going to bring what I got. And so if I've been going extra hard in life, I won't have the fire, but it still will be relaxing, hopefully, and entertaining and weird or something. And sometimes I'm going to bring the fire. And when someone says my podcast gone through the toughest year of their life, feels fucking good. And it you know, gives you that boost that you need sometimes. Thank you. And Adam came in at 1688. That's the most plus EV tier you can do. The perks are just insane, and very much appreciated, Adam. Then another Adam, Craig, and Jeff came in. Holy shit, the Patrons are flowing in, and that's 12 more points. And then someone deleted because they're a jerk. No, I don't know why they deleted, but that's minus four. And then the Patron bartender gave me a raise to $20 a month. She doesn't really play poker. I don't know if she listens to this pod or not, but it's just these people that I've been around for 15 plus years, and they have stayed at Ocean's 11, and it could be true at the Venetian, it could be true anywhere, and it's pretty fucking cool, right? And I haven't even been in there. She hasn't been working on any of the nights I've been in there, so I haven't, like, been over tipping her or anything. And she just did this on one night, and maybe it has other people listen to this podcast and then go and over tip her or whatever. But it's just really fucking cool. And it made my night. It actually came on the night where I was being a baby at the Hustler. And I saw it when I got back to my hotel. And it made me feel really fucking good. And then someone else deleted because they're a stupid jerk. No. Maybe they are. I don't know. But it's okay. It's going to happen. I used to trip on it. And then I looked it up. Or someone told me that it's just normal to have turnover. And that's minus 4 points. And then, how do I say this? Ronaldus came in with a straddle. That's $8.44 a month and 4 points back on the board. Thank you very much, Ronaldus. Bearcat gave me a raise to $20 a month. Bearcat's been around for a while. That's what's up. Thank you, Bearcat. Cam's Tahoe and Sam came in. 8 more points. Holy shit. The Patrons are flowing in. Thank you, guys. Christian came in with a straddle. Well, that's 4 points. Hopefully Christian will be on Slack. And then Stephen and Mike came in, 8 more points. Mad Hatter Poker came in with a straddle, 4 points, and a nice message on TikTok, which he posted on Twitter, if that's correct. And I really appreciate all these. Of course, I appreciate the Patrons that have been around, and I really appreciate the new ones. We added 14 new Patrons this week. We lost two, and three got their credit cards fixed. So that's a net of 15 additional Patrons, and 4 points for each Patron added, minus four for each lost. And with a net of 15, that's 60 points in this week. The best week ever for me as a podcaster with getting support and just adding people who pay my salary and really makes me feel good, obviously. And now we have 68 points on the year. And the pace at this point is 36. So we're 32 points ahead of pace. And we're eight. That means we're eight patrons ahead of pace. And I hope this is the one this year that carries us. Last year it was Poker Eggs, but the thing that was, it was cool. It's cool to see your startup grow, and it's cool to affect that. But I don't make any money off of it. It's a startup, so I don't make any money. I actually kind of fucked myself a little bit by having a huge month at the end, and then I had to cash someone out, and the company. Their equity had like doubled because of that. And so I ended up costing myself money. I know not long-term it's good for, you know, growth is good and all that. But, so that is the reason. Some people have asked why is it only your products, you know, the stuff from your page, that gets points. And it's for two reasons. I do have to justify all my efforts. I have to justify my crazy schedule. Fly to Vegas, work, fly back here, work, parent work. I'll be at Ocean's 11 tomorrow night after I record three more. Like, you have to justify this with, you know, making enough money to meet your monthly nut and start climbing out of debt, which has been the goal all along. And it was impossible for at least the first year and a half. And then we saw a little light at the tunnel once I did 40 Minutes of Hell in season two. And then the main event series that year, 2019, was good. And it's just slowly been heading towards inevitable. I think it's inevitable now if I can maintain my health, which is a battle. When you're living this hard, sometimes you just feel awful. You're like, hopefully I wake up from this fucking nap. And anyways, I'm rambling, but that's what I do sometimes. And that's why I had to tighten it. And I want Poker Eggs to grow up. We have a team. There are great designs, straddle, punter. I'm just running bad. Well, it needs to grow. It needs to not be just me fueling it. And we got a team. And so I'm going to set the example for how to be a member of Team Poker Eggs. You promote your own stuff and you bring people to the website, and sure, they're going to buy a session shirt and they're also going to buy a straddle shirt, and then boom, that's the whole model. And I don't know if I explained that correctly, but I can explain more as we go on each Friday or whatever. But so for Poker Eggs, NIK from New York, he bought something from my page, and you just go to pokereggs.us, Team Poker Eggs, and you click on DGAF, and there's 10, 15 designs, and he bought something off of there. I'm not sure what, and that's a point. It's the first point on the board this year on this line. I will get this number up. I'm creative, and the designs are good. It's just a matter of me selling, and you know, I like hitting goals. So it's, we only got 1 point out of eight. We need to get eight every week, eight and change. And we only got one here, and we got zero in the first 2 weeks. So we have 1 point, and the pace is 25. That will pick up. I will make it happen one way or another. We're 24 points behind pace. Obviously, we need to get 423 items sold from my page. And this is, you know, this is on me. I got to make it happen. And, There's good stuff on my page. Cine design is fantastic, and Spew Train's fantastic, and season five stuff's great, and whatever. The last line, countdown to 2023. The pace, we need to be, the target is 121, and we're at 134. We got carried by the patrons. I love to see that. Because one bad week and results, we'll be behind pace. So we have a sweat again. And then we've always had a sweat, and my whole life has been a fucking sweat. Well, I would love to not have a sweat this year. I would love to just blow this shit out of the water, and that would be great. So, Sound Guy, when are you going to buy something from my page? Season 5 shit, man. You don't know where? My God, pokereggs.us. And you click Team Poker Eggs. It's one of the things. You click DGAF. Yeah. You can get a golf shirt, man. Get a golf shirt. I want you to start wearing a collared shirt to work anyways. All right.
Sessions is brought to you by Poker Rags. Poker Rags, we dress poker players. Sessions is also brought to you by the Hustler Casino in Los Angeles. Lowest rake, best food, and craziest action in town. If you would like to have access to every drop of Sessions, over 700 of them and counting, plus access to my other podcast, Solicited Advice Podcast, and or you want to be a part of the sick as fuck community I'm building, DGAF community, head on over to patreon.com/DGAF poker player and sign up to become a patron today.